You're listening to Microphone Check, Hip Hop from NPR Music. Today we're in studio with Static Selector. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
I'm Static Selector.
That's pretty good.
That was good. First of all, I do want to say that I'm really excited that you're our first.
It's an honor.
Breaking the cherry.
Thank you, thank you. That's what I do. So,
to have you up here. I heard that if you were to play hip-hop for an alien, someone from outer space, one of the songs that you would pick would be a Public Enemy song to represent all of hip-hop to that alien. And I'm thinking about everything that you do, and I sincerely feel that if I had to play something for an alien to represent hip-hop, it would be anything from Static Selector.
Wow, that means a lot, man.
And I say that because when it comes to the body of work and representation of folk, you have so much music out there that you get a full scope of the art form, you know?
Thank you, man.
So
that's what I shoot for.
I'm really happy that you're up here.
Good looking, good looking.
How do you guys know each other?
I actually DJed for Q-Tip, and, you know, obviously, he's been DJing for Q-Tip 20 years longer than me, but, so basically when Q-Tip was doing solo shows, I was DJing for him, and, actually, even before that, I was the house DJ on the Tribe Called Quest tour in 2006.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we just got cool during that tour. That was like a 40-city tour, and after that, you know, whenever Rock the Bells or something would come around, I'd do Tip set, and then it would turn into Tribe, so we'd be sharing turntables for a lot of shows.
Yeah. We go back a little bit.
6-7 years.
Yeah. You know, I wanna go back to the beginning of your world, your love affair with hip hop a little bit though. You know, I always thought you were from New York.
Nah.
Like you carry that New York swag.
I've been here, this is like my 10th anniversary, so I'm a New Yorker now, but
yeah, 10
That's
years.
That's the rule, right?
Years, yeah. So all right, it's official. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you.
But, you know, for everyone who doesn't know, you know, could you explain your background?
Yeah, I grew up in a city. It's called Lawrence, Massachusetts. It's about half an hour north of Boston. And when my parents got divorced, I moved to New Hampshire because my father worked up there. So I was kind of taken out of like an urban environment where like it was mostly Latino. And like the talent shows would be like people breakdancing and rapping to like a suburban area where hip hop wasn't even really popping yet. Mm. So like when that happened, I think it really became that much stronger of a love to me because I was like, you know, when you lose something that was always there, It got me into it even more and more, and that's when I started DJing and really studying, like literally. I'd be in class with like the rap pages in between my history book, like really just studying it and just doing it every day. Like I kind of like gave my childhood to hip-hop, literally. Like I didn't go to parties in high school. All I did, well, I was DJing parties in high school, but I didn't like, I wasn't the kid that went off and did drugs, and all I did was scratch and beat juggle and do DJ battles. And my mother used to stop me from going to DJ battles. I'd like cry. Like,
really?
I would get really upset.
How old were you?
I started radio, actually, when I was 13. I started DJing when I was 13, but later in that year, I started a high school station at Phillips Academy. I didn't actually go there, but it was in the town I went to high school in. So literally, like, within 6 months of DJing, they started mailing me records. It was crazy.
How was life in New Hampshire?
It was definitely slow. I mean, there was Hampton Beach was, like, 10 minutes away. So in summertime, by the time I was, like, 14, 15, I was DJing all the clubs. So I would go, like, every weekend and just, you know, as long as I was home by like 1:30, my mom was cool.
So were you creating your own community of hip-hoppers? Or like,
yeah, absolutely. What? There's a whole crew up there still doing it. It's like a little scene.
So you go from DJing to then what?
I actually started producing before I started DJing. I was making like pause tapes, like just looping break beats and then adding layers, and they weren't good. I basically like wasn't good at making beats till like 2006. I was forced to really get into it. Actually, earlier than like 2004. My whole thing was mixtapes. That's all I cared about, DJing, parties. And it got to the point where I couldn't do mixtapes because the music got so, all the New York artists started making down south stuff, and that was never my vibe. And it forced me to literally like make my own fake remixes and put them out, and that just got more and more serious to the point where I did my first album.
So how did you form the relationships with all the people you work with? Because you work with a lot of people.
A lot of it started from radio because I was doing, you know, when I lived in Boston from 2000 to 2004, you know, I did Hot 97, I did 88.9, but I was on Hot 97 like 6 days a week at one point. So I've had every artist come through from Mobb Deep to Method Man to Ghostface. Like I would meet everybody just from them coming through the station. And then the mixtape game helped that out, and to the point where I got to my first album. And I'll never forget, one of the coolest phone calls I ever got was, I answer the phone, I'm like, who's this? He's like, Free. I'm like, Free who? He's like, Freeway. And I didn't even know him. And he's like, I heard you doing an album. I went on it. And it was like, that's when I was like, all right, I'm doing something right. Because everybody else, I was chasing for verses, and I even paid a couple people. And at that point, people started calling me. I was like, all right, something's working. Like, I think there's a group of artists like Bun B and Styles and Jada, all these people in MOP, they all appreciate what I do as far as for the boom bap aspect. Right. There's not too many cats, you know, in my generation are really holding that down.
That's true. I think that's what, you know, what's most impressive and why I think, you know, playing anything from you, any one of your albums or just all of them to the Alien, you know, would be important, because the style you make, it's consistent with, you know, the roots of hip hop, you know, at least what's considered the golden era of hip hop, but it's still relevant and fresh. Thank you know, and you make it, it's so soulful, everything that you do, and it's just, it's not monotonous, it just moves. Everything has its own kind of sound, but it's still like this fiber.
Thank you, man.
That just rolls through, that's consistent to feel good hip hop of what I
think that all comes from the DJ aspect. I mean, obviously you DJed first, like all the greatest hip hop producers were DJs first, you know, at some point.
Because you know what people want to hear, want to feel.
I mean, the backbone of hip-hop is looping with two turntables, and that turned into a sampler looping. But at the end of the day, it's like when you're constructing a record, it's all about how the DJ is going to play, you know? And you can tell when it's a producer that would never DJ, because they make the records all different.
Hmm. Like, how is it different?
The way the beat drops, the way the first verse comes in, the way the, you know, just the beginning of the song and the end of the song is so important, because the DJ will take it and... The first word of a song, you want to bring that back. It's like, if it doesn't come in right, you didn't produce the record right.
So, you have a new album,
Extended Play.
Extended Play. Before, I want to talk about that a little bit, but because you work with so many people, you have how many solo records?
This is my fifth solo studio album, but I have two EPs I put out. And then I've done complete albums with, you know, Saigon and Strong Arm Steady, so many people.
You got a lot of collaborations. In the short... frame, when was the release of your first record? Like, oh,
November 2007 to 2013.
You got a lot of records.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing where I'm really happy to have you up here is because I know your time. I don't know how you divide your time, and you're really inspiring, from, you know, because you still have your DJ show on Shade 45, right? You're producing your solo records, you're doing the collaborations, you're producing for other people. Where do you find the time? Like, how do you do this?
And the crazy part is, you left out the thing that takes up most of my time, is touring. I'm on tour like almost every day. So it's, I do everything on my laptop now. There was a time where I was just in the studio making everything on the computer, but it's like, I'm never home now. So I have to do everything on the laptop or.
So do you have a vault of music that's just there? Or I would say no, because you have so
what, stuff that's not out?
Yeah.
I probably got 1,000 songs that aren't out. Literally, like, from everyone from, I got probably 20 Joel Ortiz records that are on, a bunch of Bun B records. I mean, obviously my own camp, Terminology, Rex and all them, but I got a record with Tribe on it that I don't even think Q-Tip and Fife know that they did, What Consequence, and I got it in my computer, but it's never coming out. But
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I got a couple joints that I produced.
So can you just run through, like, your typical week, you know, just?
Mondays I usually stay home and just try to get my regular life together, whether it's personal chores or errands or whatever. That's usually what I spend Monday on, but depends. And then Tuesday it's like nonstop, you know, studio. I usually go out. Tuesday night's a good night to go out in New York, so I usually go out and, like, you know, politic or whatever. Same thing on Wednesday. I'm usually in the studio. When I'm talking about when I'm not on tour. Thursdays, forget about it. I usually set up meetings all day, and then Shade 45 at night, and then I usually DJ after that. Fridays, could be a mix. I mean, it depends, really, because
I'm just trying to figure out how many
random gigs.
Yeah, how do you find the time to make music and at the output that you're doing, and not even the output, the quality.
Just late night, man. Everything's late night. You know, crack a bottle and just chill. For real. Even when I'm on the bus, though, because I'm on tour with Joey Badass and Pro Era, we just bug out and make music. Like, we'll wake up, be like, "What are you doing?" One room in the tour bus, someone me making a beat. The next room, we're recording in a bunk, like. They're all kids, like 17, 18 years old. So they have, they're not jaded at all. Because I'm used to working with cats that, like, you go on tour with, you know, a well-known artist, and they'll be like, "Nah, I'm not trying to record. I'm on tour. You know, I need my rest, blah, blah, blah." These kids will not even sleep and just record, record, record. And they'll try to show out to each other, like, who got the best verse, who made the best beat. It's inspiring.
All right. What's your greatest highlight in everything that you've done from, you know, 13 to dreaming to being on radio station to, you know, everything that you've done? What's your greatest highlight up to this date?
That's a hard one. I always said touring with Tribe was one of my, like, I always had a, that was one of my favorite times. I mean, touring with Nas. But I look at it like stuff I, me personally, even working with, like, one of the first placements I ever got was KRS-One. And I want to kick myself sometimes because when people ask me who I produce for, I forget a lot of the old records I did. And it's like, KRS-One should be at the top of my list. That's KRS-One, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We get too caught up in, when I say we, I mean me, a lot of people, I think, get caught up in the hype of what's hot at the time, but they forget about, like, why we started this in the first place. So I always try to credit the legends, whether or not they're still, you know, doing what they used to.
I mean, do you ever worry that we're, like, calcifying, that we're nostalgic all the time?
No. I think, obviously, I try to keep, like, a 90s kind of sound alive, because I think that's, like, when the boom bap golden age was. And I think now that's becoming a whole different genre inside hip hop, because you got, you know, you got the Dirty South sound, you got 80s, you got, they used to call, like, old school, like, you know, Grandmaster Flash and all that, that was old school. And then through time, I watched certain people. I remember I was on a tour bus one time and the bus driver's son came on and he's like, we were listening to Biggie. He's like, y'all listen to that old school. And at the time I was like, how you call Biggie old school? But then I thought about it, to a kid born in, you know, 92, 93, Biggie was just like, he came out the same time the kid did. Yeah, it's like, so it's, I think now it's like hip hop's turned into different genres. Like, there's literally just 90s parties. Like, I get booked across the world just to do like a 90s Dilla set, or like, it's a whole different thing now, the way people dress. And now, especially with Joey and Action Bronson and so many of these new kids coming out, it's like they're keeping that. It's like a whole new movement. It's crazy.
All right. What is your biggest disappointment?
In my career or in hip hop?
Just in hip hop.
Really, to me, probably like the downfall of the way the Gangstar ended was one of the biggest disappointments to me, because it was like, I literally like idolized them, and Premier's like my big brother now. I DJ'd for Guru before he passed away, and I like literally watched that dissolve in front of my eyes. And I know so much that like the, obviously the public doesn't know, but I like literally watched that, and it's like, to me that was like, you look at someone like Gangstar and that's supposed to be untouchable. The same thing you look at a Wu-Tang, or like, it's sad when you see Mobb Deep fighting, or even Naughty by Nature now. It's like, that might be my biggest disappointment in hip-hop, is the way that groups don't know how to keep problems internal. And even Tribe Called Quest, no disrespect, that was like, there's some sad moments there, man.
So how do you take, you know, from those things that you find are disappointing to, you know, build on with what you're doing?
I just always try to keep, you know, personal things between me and people, at least in my camp, off of, you know, social networks and off of websites. It's hard because, I mean, you can't control everybody, but I never want to tarnish what I've done, but, I mean, it can happen to anyone, you know?
Absolutely. So that's important. Anyone out there listening in the world of hip-hop, keep your personal business off the social networks. It really is harder to, it's a challenge to try and overcome your differences just without that when you involve it.
Absolutely. And I learned that not even with just with like artists, with like with girls too, like with relationships, with all that. I keep all that. You won't see me tweeting about my girlfriend or anything. It's like, that's, it's opening up, you know, a lane for people to just sabotage you, you know what I mean? And that could be, it could be a dude, you know, just talking trash to her, or it could be someone trying to set you up or trying to, it's just, we live in a crazy world. It's like, keep anything personal on your own, you know?
Absolutely. So you've done this album. One of is, I don't know if he's signed to you, Jared Evan.
We just put out album Boom Bap and Blues. That's on Show Off Records, but I mean, he's not signed to me, but whatever his next step is, I'll definitely be involved.
So is that a record you've two done together?
Yeah, I produced the whole thing.
Yeah, because you know, I've been wondering for a while if you would ever kind of get off into, it's hard for me to really classify that as strictly R&B, even though, you know, but I guess that's
Boom Bap and Blues.
I love the title, by the way, because it's perfect to what you do. I think a lot of your music is so soulful. You know, it's just like elaborate arrangements. You thinking about working with any more singers?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love
full
to.
Full albums?
I've worked with Guaple. I've worked with Josh Exantis. But there's a, like, I'm a huge D'Angelo fan. I would love to work with him.
Is there anything different about your process when you...
Not really, and that's what I love. It like one of the things that Premier did in the late 90s that really got my attention was he could work with like D'Angelo or Janet Jackson or Christina Aguilera and keep his foundation where he does. You know it's DJ Premier, but it's a great record. Like that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to step out and use all kinds of different drums. And I'm trying to keep my drum sound. I'm trying to keep, you know, the way I compress things. As long as it's my sound, I'm all with it. I'll do a rock record. I'll do whatever. I just want it to be my sound.
Do you have a message to the up-and-coming school?
Just do you, man. I mean, I see so many producers. There's a couple cats in particular that I watched that were like, I was like, damn, they got a dope sound. And the bigger they got, they just like kind of watered it down and started doing what was on the radio. And that takes away their whole identity. It's like, just stay in your lane. Like, whatever you want to do today, don't change that years from now. I mean, if you want to change, if you have your taste changes, that's cool. But don't do it because you think you're going to make more money or because you think hip-hop's changing or the radio, whatever. It's like, just stick to what, you know. It's all about having your own lane.
Cool. Are there any words that you live by or anything like that that you want to pass along?
My mother always says, you are who you are. She got two quotes. One of them is, you're only who you are when no one's looking. And the second one's, two people, and it is funny too, because a lot of my friends like deal with a lot of, get locked up and all that. But two dudes are in a jail cell, and one's looking at they see the mud outside and the fence, and the other one sees the clear blue sky. And it's like, you got to decide where you're going to go with it. Whether you know, no matter what your predicament is, someday you're going to have to make a choice. Mm.
Does your mom listen to your music?
Absolutely. She comes to all my shows in Boston. She comes to New York once in a while. But she's definitely she checks out everything I do.
She's ahead. Does she have a favorite rapper?
You know what's funny is I just met him last week. One of her favorite songs from when I was a kid is 9, What You Want. When he's like, in my name up in lights, N-I-N-E. And he came on my show last week and I posted it on Facebook. And she like commented. She's like, that's my song.
Oh my God.
And it's weird because I met every rapper and I didn't meet him until last week. It's bugged out.
Extended Play.
Yeah.
Why the title Extended Play?
I actually came up with the title when I was real sick. I was like going to the hospital a lot and I was trying to think of a name for my new album and I was like, Extended Play means so much to me because it's like it's an extension on like life for me because I'm, you know, I've been trying to eat a little bit healthier and drink a little bit less. It's hard, but beyond that, it's extended play for like the sound, like what we're talking about, trying to keep that alive and like the foundation of hip hop, and really it's just the sound and the music that comes out today. I think a lot of it is very, you know, next week it's considered old. I don't want that to happen. I want it to get extended play more than what's going on right now.
Yeah. You're the beginning of a whole lot of things that happen here at Microphone Check, man. So, you know, I'm
proud to be part of it.
Yeah, I'm happy. And you're so humble, by the way.
Thank you.
Like, for someone who's accomplished so much, man, every time I see you, it's just always, like, respectful. And you
appreciate that.
You've been that like that from day one, so,
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you.
Vice versa.
Yeah.